Okay, let's begin. Be'ezras Hashem. The Indian of Tainas Bechorim, I hope the Olam got the Ma'ar Mekoymus. There's a Rosh in the 10th Perek. The Rosh in the 10th Perek in Simen Yud Tes brings down, we really saw it a little bit in the Ran, that the Ran that we saw talking about the concept of not eating matzah on Erev Pesach, he brings you Yerushalmi. In the middle of the piece. And in the Yerushalmi, it talks about that Rebbe didn't eat on Erev Pesach. So the Gemara goes through in the Yerushalmi a variety of reasons why he didn't eat on Erev Pesach. And one of the explanations that the Yerushalmi gave, what we saw was chametz because it's aser, matzah because of bol or sotso beis chamav. But what is related to today's topic, the Yerushalmi gives a mahalach, that maybe the reason why he didn't eat is because he was a bechor. So Meir is a Bechar, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was a Bechar. Look at that. And Lamaisa, the Gemara says, the fact that the Yerushalmi over there says, since he's a Bechar, so therefore he would fast. Now, you look in Chumash, you look in Navi, you look in Ksuvim, there's no source for this fast. We have Tisha B'Av, we have Yom Kippur, we have these types of fasts, Shiva Sabatama, Sabat Teves, those we have. But Tainas Bechorim, where does that come from? So the Yerushalmi over here is suggesting that there's a mussig of the Bechorim fasting on Erev Pesach. Now, why should that be? Yerushalmi doesn't say. The Rosh quotes a Maseches Soifrim that says the Bechorim fast on Erev Pesach. This Maseches Soifrim is in Perek Chaf Aleph. It's the same place where it says about Tainas Esther. Maseches Soifrim is the source for both the Tainas Esther and also the Tainas of Bechorim. Now, the reason the Maseches Soifrim gives for the Tainas Bechorim is because when Klal Yisrael, we're in Mitzrayim, so Hashem had Makas Bechorim, and in that event, in that incredible Makah, it says it was like a plague that it would not be Mavchin between Klal Yisrael and the Mitzrayim, and therefore, really, Klal Yisrael also, the Bechorim should have been killed. But because they were inside of a Jewish home with the doorpost had blood on it from the Korban Pesach, and they were involved in a mitzvah, so they were saved. Hashem was poseach on the doors of the Jewish homes.
Rabbi,
Haga Pesach. What?
When the Bechars when the Egyptian Bechars were killed, then yeah, the next kid up was now the Bechar. Was he killed also?
No.
Okay.
Now, the Bechar is only the first. We're going to get into the specific details of what constitutes a Bechar, but just for simple terms, the Bechar generally is only the firstborn, the father's firstborn child. Whoever's the father's firstborn child, that is generally the qualification of a Bechar. Okay?
Nice.
So, but we will see that.
What about the mother's firstborn child? Like, if there's a father from a previous or a husband from a previous marriage who has kids, and then the right, mother has a boy, is he the Bechor?
Again?
If a woman has a husband who is previously married, who has children from yeah, another wife, and they get married, then they have a son, is that son a Bechor?
So we're going to talk about that now. That's mamish part of today's topic. Okay, let's get to that case. But first of all, let's just appreciate that Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, in Makas Bechorim, were in the same danger as the Mitzrayim. And the reason for that is because the time of Magefa, when the Mashchis, the Lashon of Chazal, when the Mashchis, the destroyer, is going and killing, so he doesn't differentiate between the Tzaddikim and the Rishoyim. And that's, I don't know if you guys had a chance to hear the Dvar Torah I sent out Thursday night before Shabbos, Friday before Shabbos. It was mamish this nekuda that the Shas Magefa, there's no differentiating between the Tzaddikim and the Rishoyim. There's no differentiating between Klal Yisrael and the Mitzrayim. And that's the matzav of a Magefa, which we happen to be in right now. So this is the reason why the Bechorim fast, because they were saved. Now, the Rosh makes a big deal about the fact that there's a support for this Tainus, that there's a source for this Tainus. There's a source in the Yerushalmi, there's a source in the Tzeches Soifrim. Why is it such a big deal that there's a source for this Tainus? So the Karmen Asanel over here in the Rush points out, because really there's two problems with fasting on Erev Pesach. The Karmen Asanel. Karmen Asanel is on the bottom of the Rush. He says there's two problems with fasting Erev Pesach. Problem number one, it's the month of Nisan. We said there's no fasting in the month of Nisan because of the Yom Tov.
Wow.
Problem number two is it's Erev Pesach. The halacha is that you never fast on the day before a Yom Tov. Day before a Yom Tov, day after a Yom Tov are always also Aser B'Tainis. So therefore, Dr. Rush, really it doesn't make sense that I should have a Tainis on Erev Pesach. How do we have a Tainis B'Chorim? How did Rebbe fast Erev Pesach? Shver. Dr. Rush, I have two Makairis. I have the Sechet Seferim and Yishalmi that both support this concept that there's a fast on Erev Pesach. Okay, so now let's discuss a little bit more about this fast on Erev Pesach. The Rush himself doesn't actually say the reason why we have a fast. It's in the Tur. The Tur brings it down in Siman Tav Ayin. Again, remember the Tur is the son of the Rush. The Tur brings down in Siman Tav Ayin. And he says some gewaldige things. He brings like this. First of all, he brings the Eichel Anes that they were saved, Makis Bechoros, right? That's what we pointed out. Zok to Abi Ezri, right? Whoever's collecting names of Sfarim, Abi Ezri, that's one of the Rishonim. It's also the Abi Ezri of, I think I was talking to you about this, Danny, right? And Rav Shach Sefer is also called Abi Ezri. So both Sfarim with the same name, right? So Abi Ezri, one of the Rishonim, says, it's quoted by the Torah. He says like this. Let's say you have Yosef ben Lishaila, where there's a father and he has a Bechara, and then he marries a different woman and he has another Bechara. So then what's the halacha? They also have to fast. That's what he tainos. They also have to fast. Now why should that be? Why should they have to fast? That's not normally the rule of a Bechara. That's not normally the gather of a Bechara. So what's pshat that over here? It's different. Teretz is. Listen to this unbelievable Vart. The Medrash says that by Makas Bechoris, there was a tremendous amount of busha going around Mitzrayim. Tremendous amount of problems in Shalom Bayis. Why? Because more than one Bechor was being nifter in every home. And the people were wondering, how could there be more than one Bechor? Something's wrong here. Teretz is Dr. Medrash, because this guy had a Bechor from his own wife, and then he had another Bechor from a different woman, and another Bechor from a different woman. Or if I care, this woman had a Bechor from her husband, and she had another Bechor from a different guy, and a third Bechor from another guy, and it comes out that all these kids are dying in the same home, and they're wondering, hey, what's going on here? Teretz is because the couples were not really so... you know, Naaman, they weren't so faithful to each other. How's it going, Draghi?
Yeah, but Rabbi, who cares about that? I mean, saying these are mitzvahim, this is what they do.
Yeah, well, it just gives us an appreciation of how different we are from the Goyim. We're mamas different from the Goyim. We have to understand that even though we look the same, we walk around on 2 feet, and we have 2 eyes and 2 hands, etc., we look the same, but we're worlds apart. We're mamas, no sheikhs to the Goyim. They act totally differently. Like you're saying, that has no shaykhah to us, but sometimes we forget it. Sometimes when we look at advertisements or events or different things where goyim, are depicted in a way which seems to make us want to be like them, we have to forget that we have to realize. I mean, we have to remember that we have no shaykhahs to them. Look at how they act. We don't act like that. We don't do that. It's terrible. The behavior of the Goyim. So it's important for us to remember that. And even though you're right, Yosef, it's something which should be basic, but unfortunately we forget a lot. We forget this very often. And it's good to remind ourselves. So the Mitzrayim, there were many, many Bechorim that were Nifter, both from the father and Bechor from the mother. And therefore, as a result of that, in our Tainus Bechorim, whether a person is a Bechor from the father or a Bechor from the mother, it doesn't make a difference. They're going to fast. That's the Tur in the name of Abi Ezri. A great point. And it's quoted by Daki Moshe also. Now, Lemaisa, this already extends, it broadens the concept of Tainus Bechorim to encompass a lot more people than just your average Din Bechor. But it doesn't stop there. The Beis Yosef quotes a Tshuva Ashkenazis. Now, Beis Yosef quoting Tshuva Ashkenazis, we have to understand that Beis Yosef was really in the Sephardi world. Right? He was in Africa and in Turkey and in Eretz Yisrael and Sfas, really mamish part of the Sephardi world. And in Germany and France, there was a whole different world going on. And it didn't have the same type of communication as we have today. So he has Tshuva Ashkenazis, the Tshuva from the German, you know, from the Ashkenaz and from the, that's what Ashkenaz means. In Hebrew, it means Germany. A Tshuva from them. And it's referring to the Ma'aril, because the Ma'aril was the leader of Germanic Jewry at that time. And his tshuvas basically became halacha. And the Ma'aril said like this: what happens if you have a girl who is the Bechor? She's the firstborn. Now, normally, as far as the halacha is a Bechor concerned, so we don't go, a girl, forget it. She's not a Bechor. There's no din of pidyon Bechora, right? We're not poda, a female firstborn. Wait, what's this din of Bechor? Yeah? So, look, the Tshuva Ashkenazis, Ma'aril. Nikeva shihi Bechora, a female Bechor. He quotes from the Sefer Aguda, also one of the Ashkenazi Rishonim. She needs to fast Araya from Bisya Bas Paroi. You're wondering why I say Bisya, not Basya? Good question. Because if you look in Divrei Hayamim, the nikudos of the word Beis Saf Yod, hey, her name is Bisya. So therefore, you know, sometimes I try to remember to say Bisya. Anyway, Bisya Bas Paroi, she's a raya that female Bukharas have to fast. What's the raya? What sheikhs? Yeah, there you go, Shraggy. That's right. What sheikhs? So the Daki Moshe gives a Hezber. Daki Moshe right here, the Ramah, defending the Ashkenazi Torah. He says, look in the Medrash Shmois Rabbah, Parsha Yurches, Chai. Yeah, what does it say? It says that really Bisya Bas Paroi was the firstborn for Paroi. And she was supposed to be killed. She was supposed to die in Makas Bechairis. But she didn't. Why not? The reason why she didn't die is because she risked her life to save Moshe Rabbeinu. And because she risked her life to save Moshe Rabbeinu, she was saved in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. Memela, Zakta Mariel, we see that really women are supposed to die in Makas Bechairis. The female firstborns were supposed to die. Oh, if they were supposed to die in Makas Bechairis, that means that a female firstborn of Klai Yisrael, Bizman Hazeh, is going to fast in Tainus Bechorim. Just like back then, Makas Bechorim, the female firstborn was supposed to die, so too today. Okay, there we go. Right, Shraggy, you missed the beginning. The Maseches Seferim says that the reason why we fast today, the Bechorim fast today, is because really they were supposed to die in the Makas Bechorim, but Hashem saved us. Because it was Pesach. Hashem was Poseach over the Jewish homes. And therefore, Zeichet to that, so that's why we are fasting today. So anybody who was supposed to die, that's who fasts.
But how can we judge all the women because of one woman's deed?
No. What Bisya Bas Paroi shows us is that really the female Bukharis were supposed to die.
But only she wasn't supposed to die. Everyone else was supposed to die.
What?
All the other Bukharas were supposed to die, but she wasn't. She's the only one.
Right. Why didn't she die? Because she saved Moshe Rabbeinu.
I know, but it's only her, not the rest of the women. The rest of the women were supposed to die.
They were supposed to die, right?
They would. They were, as in they should. As in right. That's what.
Exactly. So that means that therefore today, Klai Yisrael, who is fasting as a zeichet to the fact that they didn't die. Klai Yisrael didn't die. Bisya, don't forget. Wait a second. Okay, it's a little kasha. It's a little kasha. I'll speak out the kasha. Let me speak out the kasha. Kasha's like this. Let's realize for a moment. Okay, but we can have a teretz. I have a teretz. We'll say a teretz. You ready? The kasha's like this. Gevaldig a point, Shraggy, that you're bringing up. I think this is probably what you mean. This is probably what you're bothered by. Yeah? What was Bisya Bas Paro? Was she Jewish or was she Egyptian? Who was she? So if she was Jewish, she wasn't supposed to die anyway. If she was Egyptian, so then in Hanami, she was supposed to die. And then she needs the schos of Moshe Rabbeinu. So what was her status? So Chazal tell us that she was, the Gemara Megillah, I think it's Avyad Gimel, the Gemara says that she was, by Tevid Lirchotz, she went to wash by the Ya'ar. Chazal say that she went to wash away from the Avodah Zarah. So if we assume from that means that she was Megayer, so then that means she was Jewish. She was Jewish. Why does the matter say that she should have died? There's no reason for her to die. She's Jewish. It's a good kasha. Shraggy, is that your kasha?
Sorry. Sort of.
Okay.
That wasn't, but we'll go with it.
No, I'm good.
Okay. So we got to get back to the Rebbe. You know, the Rebbe will keep you okay.
Exactly. He's going to keep my mind focused.
That's right. Yeah.
So, the Lubavitchers are dropping like flies.
Thank you, Bob. Whoa, slow down.
No, I'm being serious.
Six
Lubavitch people, they were nifter.
Right. Yeah. We want to keep only Simcha Dick right now, at least for this half an hour. Okay. So Levi said, what we're saying is like this. Let's make sure we understand the kasha. The kasha is, if Bisya was Jewish, like it seems to imply in Chazal, she was Tevid Lichot al Yad Ha'Ya'ar, so then why does she need the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu to be saved? Right? Elamite mashma from Chazal that she was not Jewish. I say, how do we explain the other Chazal that she went to wash away from the Avodah Zarah? Kasha. So there's two answers. One answer, yes, she was Jewish. Still, she needs a schos to be saved. Why? Because it says that Kadosh Baruch Hu is not, the mashchis is not mavchin between Klal Yisrael and the Mitzrayim. It's only in the schos of the blood on the doorposts. The pashtus says that Bisya in the palace of Paroi didn't have any blood on her doorpost. Even if somehow she got the Karban Pesach from somebody, but blood on her doorpost, it's hard to imagine she had blood on the doorpost. And therefore, L'chayra, we can suggest that the Mashchis wouldn't have been Mavchin, and she needed the Schos of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's one answer. An alternative is the Lashon of the Gemara in Megillah doesn't say that she was Megayer. It says she was rochet mi gilulei avodah zara, avodas kochavim, something like that. Gilulei avodas kochavim. And therefore, it's possible that she was just included in what we call chesidim es ha'olam, right? People who are makabel, ger toshav, let's say, people who are makabel, the amunah in Hashem, but not that they're actually Jewish. So if that's the case, she still needs the schos of Moshe Rabbeinu to be saved because she still is a Mitzri. So this is something which I want to take some time to be medayik the lashon. Believe that or afterwards, I'll get back to you about this shaila. We want to be medayik the lashon as to was Bisya tak megayer or was she just koyfer b'avodah zarah and maimin b'Hashem? And that would be machriya this shaila. Was she a yid or was she a Mitzri? Okay. Al Kopanim, what do we see? We see that really she should have died. Now, why should she die by Makas Bechairis? If she's a girl, she doesn't have a status of a Bechaira as far as general laws of Bechaira are concerned. For the fact that she should have died, Kamash Malan, even female Bechaira, is included in this din, which means even female Bechaira today is going to fast as a Zecher for that. Okay? That's the Cheshbin. Menela, the Ma'aril, concludes, the Beis Yosef brings down, there's Ma'aril, that a female Bechoira is going to fast. Tanis Bechorim, Erev Pesach, she's going to fast. Okay.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Who's the one that quotes Medrash Rabbah, the Ramah?
Yeah, the Daki Marsha, that's right. He's using the Medrash Rabbah to be masbir, this Raya of the Mariel. That's right, the Raya of the Aguda. That's right. Okay? So it's a Gishmaka thing. Now, the Daki Marsha, get this, the Daki Marsha brings from a different Mariel, it's the same Mariel, but it's a different Shuvah, that he writes, although Al Pi Cheshbin, it should come out that the female Bukhara's do fast. However, the minig is not for them to fast. The minig is that female Bukhara's do not fast. That's the minig. Now, why is that? Good question, Shragi. I like that. But the Mishnah Berurah already addresses this problem. Mishnah Berurah points out in Tuf Ayin that it sounds very strange. Why in the world would that be the minig? And the Mishnah Berurah says a line, obviously don't tell this to your sister. He says, because the Torah does not give kedushas b'chayra to women for anything. So therefore, we're not gonna make them fast when they have no status of b'chayra whatsoever in any area of halacha. So they get it. They're not gonna have to fast. Okay, this is something which opens the door to a tremendous amount of kulas. Because what does that mean? If the bard is that they were supposed to die and they didn't, because the yidden didn't die, the yidden were saved, so now we have to fast because they should have died, so who cares if they have kedushas b'chayra or not? Bottom line is they were supposed to die. From the Mishnah Berurah's bard over here, from this ma'aril, that the minig is not like this, we have opened the door to a major amount of kulas. Why? Because it's telling us that it's not very cut and dry. It depends what is the minig. In other words, this area of tainus is totally on how Klal Yisrael was mekabel the minig of fasting this tainus b'charim. So the Mishnah Berurah is quoting the Vilna Gaon that says this hesber, and we're going to see soon Be'ez Hashem a number of a terim, which are based on this musig, that is tully in what the minig in Klal Yisrael is, as far as the fast is concerned. Okay, let's bring up another scenario where this expresses itself. The Trumas Adeshen talks about what if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. So, what do? You fast on Shabbos? We never fast on Shabbos. Yom Kippur, you fast on Shabbos. But other than Yom Kippur, we don't fast on Shabbos. So what do? Dr. Chuma said Deshan. He says we fast on Thursday. We move the fast up to Thursday. Can't push it off till after Shabbos because it's going to be Pesach already. So we move it up to Thursday. We fast on Thursday. Right now, Friday, because it's going to go into Shabbos, it ends up fasting on Shabbos. The only fast we ever do on Friday is Asar B'Tavis. Because Asar B'Tavis, there's a whole shtickel about it, which I think in previous years we spoke about on Asar B'Tavis, why it is that it's Docha Shabbos. But Asar B'Tavis is also Docha Shabbos. But Tanis Esther is not going to be Docha Shabbos. I mean, Tanis Bechorim is not Docha Shabbos. So we'll move it to Thursday. That's Shumas Adesha. Zakt. The Mariel in a tshuva, what does he say? He says, however, Abi Meiri, hell, not like that. Abi Meiri said, you don't fast at all. No fast. Why not? What happened to the fast? Where did the fast go? He says like this. The minig is only to fast on Erev Pesach because that's when the whole thing happened. If I'm not fasting on Erev Pesach, forget it. We're not fasting. The minig is not the fast. So we see another area. You don't say this type of thing by a regular tainus. You don't say, oh no, forget it. It's Shabbos. We're not going to fast. No, we don't do that. But when it comes to this tainus, which it's only based on a minug, and therefore it's telling how Klal Yisrael accepted the minug, zakt, the Mariel in a tshuva, his father said, we don't fast at all. There you go. Memela, we have two expressions of this kula over here. The Beis Yosef bring down this shtickle, if you want to find it. It's in the Beis Yosef over there in Tophayim. Okay? Now, this is something which is just the beginning. Because really, everybody knows that Erev Pesach, what's the most sought after thing, Erev Pesach, is a siyum. Everybody wants to be in touch with somebody that's making a siyum. Why? Because you make a siyum, so then you don't have to fast. Really? If I make a siyum on Shavuos v'Tammuz, I don't have to fast? That's interesting. Never heard of that one before. All right, what's going on? I make a siyum and now I don't have to fast on Tanis Esther? That's pretty crazy. Hey, Bentley, we misscheduled your siyumim. We should have done a better job with that one.
But,
what was that?
So I got some more coming up.
Oh, awesome. Okay, good. So hold on to it for Shavuos v'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, because those are coming up too.
And nine days.
What's wrong with that? I understand. What fasts do you push off for making a siyum?
That's exactly my point. None. So what's going on over here? Why are we pushing this off?
Why do you guys
make a siyum? What's going on here?
Days.
What do you say, Shaggy?
Get Dougies on the 9 days, you make a siyum.
Yep.
Very good, but that's not going to push off a tinus.
Whatever.
You know, Bentley, make one on Yom Kippur. You know, I want to be Mekayim an extra mitzvah on Yom Kippur. Say brachas, become honest.
<Yeah. laughs>
What's going on here? You can't make a tinus. Don't get tinus with a fast. I mean, with a siyum.
Shrek. Get married on Rosh Chodesh, you also don't have to fast.
Very good.
If you get married the day before Rosh Hashanah, then you have no sins, so you have a sick next year.
Wow. Good. I like that.
Ooh.
Always make Rosh Hashanah after Yom Kippur, so then you also...
Danny, good question. That's a very famous verse. Al Kaponim, the Mahalach, which the Poiskim give in our question... is that this tainus is not a stam tainus. It's a tainus which is based on the minig in Klai Yisrael. And the way Klai Yisrael was mekabel the minig is, at least some parts of Klai Yisrael, we'll see soon in the Mishnah Brura, that it's not so pashut, but some places in Klai Yisrael were mekabel the minig that I don't have to fast if I have a Sudas Mitzvah. We'll talk about that more soon, Be'ezer Hashem. Let's first cover one more scenario, which is probably the most far-reaching scenario that comes up. And that is, it's rough. It's going to get to every one of us, every single one of us, even if we're not a Bukhar. Zakt, the Shulchan Aruch. You ready for this? The Ramah. He says, okay, so let's say I'm not a Bukhar. So I'm free, I don't have to worry about it. And I'm not a female Bukhar either. I don't have to worry about it. No problem. I have older brothers and sisters. Doug the Ramah, he says, Noyagim, that if you have a child who is a Bukhar, meaning anybody who gets married and envy and has a child who is a Bukhar, that means the first child wasn't a Nefel, but rather the first child is a Bukhar, a living child. The parent fasts on behalf of the child. You hear that? A father has to fast on behalf of his child who is a Bukhar. Whether he has a Bukhar who is a girl, or a Bukhar who is a girl, according to Sephardim. Sephardim, they are makpid to fast for a girl Bukhar. Tell this to the Sephardim out there. They always make it with their rice. Now you know why they could be makel. Extra fasting, you get a bonus, you know. So
I want to be makel.
You want to be makel?
Yeah. I asked Rabbi Wiener. He told me, he's like, yeah, luckily you could, but you shouldn't. I'm like, what does that mean?
What, to have rice, you mean?
Yeah, I could eat kidneys if I want,
because your family doesn't have menhagim, you're saying.
Right, he was like, do whatever you want, but don't. I'm like, what?
Enjoy 4 days of slichos. Just let me know how it goes.
Exactly, that's the way it works. You want to eat rice on Pesach, you gotta start slichos from Rosh Chodesh El. Pardon.
Win some, you lose some.
Okay. I'll go by him.
That's worse. 3 days is worse than all 40.
3 days of what? Oh, Bahab.
Yeah.
Look, ask Rebbe Wiener about peanuts and peanut butter in specific. Maybe he'll be more, you know, more make of you. In the meantime, so a parent of a Bukhar, a male Bukhar, Ashkenazim, the father needs to fast. That's brought in Halacha. Until the kid turns 13, the father has to fast for his son, who is a firstborn. So it's a wonderful thing to make a pidyon of ben, bez Hashem, by everybody. It should be zeich to be mekayim the mitzvah. It's a beautiful thing. But at the same time, okay, it also comes along. Very good, Shaggy. It comes along with 13 years of fasting on our Pesach.
Okay? They didn't tell us that on the chuppah.
What was that?
They didn't tell us that on the chuppah.
Yeah. Okay, you gotta find a different side of Kedusha, maybe, you know. I'll go on him. So this is something which is extremely applicable to a tremendous amount of Klai Yisrael, right? It's not just if you yourself are a Bukhar, but even if you're the father of a Bukhar, you also have to fast. Zog the Rama, listen to this. Let's say you are a Bukhar and you have a kid who's a Bukhar. Now you're fasting for yourself. Who's gonna fast for your kid? Your wife. Dr. Rama, you come there, both parents are fasting, Tainas Bukharim, and neither of them are Bukhar. It's wild. Unbelievable. So, it's a tremendous...
What if she's a Bukhara?
What was that?
And what if she's also, if she's a Bukhara, then who fasts?
Maybe pay $20 to your neighbor?
Shabbos Kali.
Nah. We'll see, the poskim say that based on the Nekuda, right? We don't find this anywhere. What does it mean? I fast for my kid who's Bukhar. What's going on? The pshat is that it's all based on the Minhagim. It's based on the Minhagim of Klai Yisrael. And this is how Klai Yisrael is Mekabel HaMinhag. Now, some Paiskim say no. Klai Yisrael is Mekabel HaMinhag in such a way that I can fast for myself and I can also fast for my son. One fast works for both. So we hold that that's not the way Klai Yisrael is Mekabel HaMinhag. Mekar Adin, L'chatchila, we say no. If you're fasting for yourself, your wife is going to fast for your kid. However, let's say your wife is also a Bechaira, very good, Yosef. Then, and she's Sfardi, let's say, and she kept that minug. She didn't change to you, or you're Sfardi, let's say. So then her fast is going to help for her and her kid. Your wife is sick. What do you say?
But not by you. If you're a Bechaira, then your fast would help.
No, because it's only you have no option. Whatever, your fast will count for you and your kid. Right? I'm saying, as long as you have an option for her to fast on behalf of the kid, that's what you do. Let's say she's sick. Let's say she's expecting. Let's say she's nursing. Let's say she's whatever. Right? So she can't fast. So then your fast is going to work for you and your kid. It's going to help for both. Right? Why? Because we'll be Mekel, that's our Klai Yisrael, the Kabbalah Minhag. So therefore, it's another scenario where we see that the way the minhag was shelled back, right? So there you go, get some Yiddish in there, right? The way the Yiddish was, the way the Tainus was shelled back, right, is what's it called? In this way, that you can do it on your behalf and also for your kid. Fine.
Maybe the Yekis in Germany spoke Yiddish also.
What was that?
The Yekis in Germany spoke Yiddish also.
How about it? Of course.
Yeah, we all have it inside of us, you know.
Very good. I'm not 100% convinced that they spoke Yiddish. I would be more noted that they actually spoke real German, but you never know. We have to be Mavar. I know my ancestors in Germany spoke German, not Yiddish. The Yekis, but maybe they were different ones.
They sound the same, anyways. It's fine.
They might bite your head off if you say that. Anyway, I'll compare him. So let's get into the shiloh of this human, because that's really that's what seems to be Klai Yisrael's minhag, and let's just figure this out. What are the Paiskim have to say about it? So I want to just make sure that it's clear. You open a Shulchan Aruch, a Ramah, the early Paiskim, the Tur, etc. Nobody says anything about a Siyam not fasting. Nobody says this stuff. Erev Pesach, a Bechor fasts. That's the way it was. That's the way it's been for hundreds of years. Recently, and when I say recently, I mean within the past 150 years, 200 years, let's say, maybe 300 years, maybe, I don't know exactly, but that's recent in Klal Yisrael's history. Recently, they started not fasting for a variety of scenarios. And the Mishnah Berurah brings this down. The Mishnah Berurah brings, Yesh Mekoymes, there are some places that are Machmir. And if you want to eat by Yesudas Pidyon HaBen or Bris Milah, you have to be Matir Neder. You have to get out of that Minog. And then there are Yesh Mekoymes that they're Mekel by a Pidyon HaBen and a Bris Milah. That's what Mishnah Berurah brings down. A real serious Sudas Mitzvah. Zog the Mishnah Berurah in the Hemshech. He says, V'yesh Mekoymos Shenagwa B'chorim L'hokel V'lechol B'sudas Mitzvah V'chei Noagin K'ayoyim B'kama Mekoymos D'inaseinu L'hokel Af B'sudas Siyim Mesechet. Even by the Siyim, the Mishnah Berurah says, that's how they're knowing in our locale, our areas, of eating, even on Erev Pesach, even though they didn't learn it. They didn't learn it. The minig is, they listen to the end, and then it comes out that they're mitzarif with the siyam, and they also mitzarif in the suda. That's the way the Mishnah Berurah says to be mekayim this minhag. That's how people are noyeg in his area. That's what they did. The Bukharim would make a sudas mitzvah. They would be mishtatif in the sudas mitzvah. And they would not fast. Now, here, this opens the door to a variety of questions. First of all, what can you use to make a siyam? And second of all, who is allowed to be able to be mishtatif? Right? So the classic question first, the lashon of the Mishnah Berurah is siyam meseches. Siyam meseches pashtos means a mesechta of Gemara, and that's what you could do for a siyam. If you don't have a siyam meseches, no siyam. That's the pashtos. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked the shaila. It was in the Ma'ariv Mekoymos that I sent out. It was in the tshuva over here. And Chelik Aleph, yeah? Or Chaim Chelik Aleph.
The only two options, you could actually make a Siyam on a Masechta Gemara and a Masechta Seder of Mishnayos, right? There's nothing else you can make a Siyam on.
Well, that's exactly what we're going to be about right now. Rav Moshe Feinstein and Kuf Nun Zayin. Chelik Aleph, Simon Kuf Nun Zayin was asked, what about making a Siyam on a Sefer of Tanakh? He said he was asked the shaila by Rav Moshe Yisachar Goldberg that they had a group that used to learn together Tanakh B'Iyun, and the Rav, the Magid Shir, would say over like drushes of Chazal and be Masbir Tanakh B'Iyun, mamish with the with Chazal. So they wanted to know if they can make a siyam on that and have a Sudas Mitzvah for Tanis B'Chayrim and 9 days, meet during the 9 days. Okay? Just the tshuva, the Igros Moshe. He says, listen to this. He says, where do we find Siyam? Where do we find Siyam? There's a Gemara that talks about Siyam. There's a Medrash that talks about Siyam. The Medrash talks about Siyam on Simchas Torah, and it's brought down in the Paiskim in the Hilchos Simchas Torah, Tafresh Samech Tes. It says when Klal Yisrael finishes the Kriyas HaTorah of the whole year, the minhag is to make a suda. It's like a siyam. What is that? Parashat B'Chasav. It's Chumash. Make a siyam on Chumash. Chayav the Makar can make a siyam on Chumash. Dr. Maisha, no Makar. Why not? That's what we're talking about. Because that's Kriyas HaTorah. That's all of Klal Yisrael together. a kviyas every single week, all of Klal Yisrael together is finishing chumash. That's a major event. That's something big. But to say that just I'm on my own, if I learn chumash, I can make a siyum. You don't have a makar from there, okay? But what is it talking about? The makar is from Shloimeh HaMelech. The Medrash brings Shloimeh HaMelech. Beis Yosef brings it down over there. Nochas v'chas Torah. Shloimeh HaMelech, when they finished the Beis HaMikdash and they had the Chanukas HaBayis, he made a siyum and he gave out meat and wine to all of Klal Yisrael. A makar from here for a siyum. There's a piece in Harei Kedem in Simchas Torah who is Ma'arech about the chap of this point. And he says, what's the siyum? Is the siyum celebrating the fact that we finished or celebrating the fact that we're going to start again with all that extra chacham? And he points out that the real siyum, the real simcha, is the fact that we're starting again the Kriyas HaTorah, the second round, with all that new information that I have so that I'm going to understand it even better now. That's the real Simcha V'Siyim. Al Kapanim, Dr. Moshe, I see number one, potentially I can make a Siyim on Tanakh, on Chumash, on Tanakh. Number two, I see I can potentially make a Siyim even if I'm not learning anything. The Binyan Beis HaMikdash, we're not learning anything. Any mitzvah could be Shaykh to Siyim, and he brings the Gemara. The Gemara says in Babas with Avkuf Chaf Aleph. It says that when Klal Yisrael on Tu B'Av, they would have a Yom Tiv on Tu B'Av because they finished the mitzvah of cutting the wood for the Ma'areches HaMizbeach. Finishing a mitzvah is a Yom Tiv. Zok Chazal, Zok Reb Moshe, anytime you are involved in a mitzvah for an extended period of time with a kviyas, you can make a siyum. It doesn't have to be a Maseches of Gemara. Doesn't have to be a Seder of Mishnayos. Doesn't have to be Kaltar Kula, Tanakh, or whatever. Any mitzvah that you're involved in with a kviyas for an extended period of time, you can make a siyum. You want to finish Sefer Yeshua or Shoftim or Yeshaya or Eov, another case that comes up in Igros Moshe, Chilik Beis, Simin Yod Beis. You want to finish any Sefer, you want to finish a Parsha. If you have a Kviyas, in even one Meseches of Mishnayos, you have a Kviyas to learn it, and you're doing it for an extended period of time, when you finish, you can make a Siyum. Dr. Moshe, you have to make sure that you're learning it. And therefore, if you're learning it, you're learning Navi, and you don't understand what's going on. You need to learn it with a pirish from the Rishonim. Let's say pirish Rashi, for example. Right? A system of learning. What is that? Shraggy, you lost me. What is that?
Akhwan's pamphlets.
I know it's Breslov, but yeah, what are you trying to show me?
Am I making a seam on this?
Burn it.
You have to make a siyum on Torah. That's Bittel Torah. It's different.
I don't know what's in there. I'm not sure. The Rav Moshe says, let me read you some important words of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says that why do you have to learn the Navi with Rashi or one of the Gedolei Rishonim, he says? Echad mipirushei Rabbeinu Rishonim, velo mipirushim anashim de'alma. And not from some random person. It has to be from the Rishonim. Why? Sheruban Baduim, because most of those Pirushim that you're learning from people who are not from the Rishonim is potentially made up stuff. The Einam Emes, and it's not even Emes, these Pirushim. The Habigesh Gan came Megal upon him, and a lot of it is even against what the Torah would say. It says those people are not Mekabel Pnei Shechina. Dr. Moshe, you want to make a Siyum, you got to be very careful which Pirush you're using to make a Siyum. But it's important for us to appreciate that this is a tremendous Chap, the Nekuda of being committed to a Limud, committed to a Mitzvah, is a Simcha. It's a tremendous accomplishment to stick to it. Like I said over from my Rebbe Reisman, from Yisrael Reisman, from Tarbidas, when I was in Tarbidas. So he said over, I told you the story, right? It was the, he gives a Matzah Shabbos shir, a Nabi shir in Flatbush. It's televised in many places in the world. And Matzah Shabbos, right before the Siyum HaShas, Rabbi Reisman gets up, he says, I'm embarrassed. I'm going to give a shir now. So many of you are Besayim HaShas. I'm going to go down and one of you get up and speak. So he just, you know, he starts getting up and walking and nobody gets up. Nobody gets up to, it's like a big shul. It's Achiezer in Flatbush. I don't know if you guys know it. It's a massive shul. It seats like 700 people upstairs, another 600 people downstairs. It's and the Aron Kodesh where he sits, he gets here. It's on this huge podium, it's, you know. So he like gets up and like starts walking off the waiting for somebody to walk down the aisle. It's like a whole aisle to get to there. And nobody's there. Nobody's doing it. So he goes back, he gets his seat. He's like, what's going on? Where's everyone? How come no one wants to get up? So he says, it's on, you want to know what street it's on? It's on Avenue S, I think, and Coney Island. Ocean Parkway. Ocean Parkway and S. Anyway, so it's called Achiezer. It's a big shul in Flatbush. Big Friday shul. Al Kapanim, so he says like this. He says, who are we fooling? We're making Siyum HaShas tomorrow in Madison Square Garden. It's going to be a big event. Not this. It wasn't this past one. It was 14 years ago. He's in a big event. He says, but we don't know Shas. Why are we making this big event? Who are we fooling? Zog Rebbe Reisman, Gevald Gevart, and it's Mamash Desvart. When we are making a Siyum, it's not about whether you know the Torah that you learned. That's not what it's about. You think you remember every single Rashi, every single Dik that we made this past year in Ksuvis? No, we didn't. We don't necessarily remember every Vart. But the Siyum is about the commitment, day in, day out, whether it's a weekday, whether it's Shabbos, whether it's Hanukkah, whether it's Yom Kippur, whether it's in quarantine, whether it's vacation, it doesn't make a difference. I learn Daf Yoimi every single day. I learn my Kviyas in Mishnayas, my Kviyas in Chumash, my Kviyas in Navi. Whatever it is, I learn it every day. And that is why I make a Siyum. That's where Moshe. I have a Kviyas in learning. That's a Simcha. When I finish it, that's a Simcha. That's huge. It changes your life. Every day to have a Kviyas changes your life. And I'll just end off with this Maisa. Rav Shlomo Freifeld, Rashiv of Shayashev. So he had a yeshiva and somebody came to me. He says, Rebbe, you know, I want to come to the yeshiva. I don't know how to learn. He says, that's great. If you know how to learn, go to Lakewood. Don't come here. So that's the type of yeshiva that he had. So Rav Shlomo Freifeld says to the Olam one day in Shir, he says, Rabbeisai, every one of you can learn Ksubis. You guys have been shtagging away. There's no reason why you cannot make a Siyum. Every single one of you can make a Siyum. After Shir, one of the Bachrim comes over to Rav Freifeld. He says, Rebbe, I want to make a Siyum so badly, but I can't. You know I can't. I have such a hard time. I can barely read one line. It's not Shaykh. He says, Yankel, you can also make a Siyum. He's like, Rebbe, I don't understand. Don't worry. You can do it. Okay. Sarachin. Next day, Rav Shlomo Freifeld comes in. Leather-bound Gemara, beautiful Gemara, Ksugis. He says, here, this is for you. He says, Rebbe, wow. He opens it up. He sees there's only one daf. Daf Beis. He says, this is your Maseches Ksugis. Make a Siyum. Whatever it is, it could be one page, it could be one Masechta, it could be one Sefer Navi, whatever it is, let's make that Kviyas Bez Hashem in our lives to always have a Seder. And Bez Hashem, we should be Zoiche to have the Yomtiv, the Simchas Yomtiv of the Siyumim, many, many, many areas, many, many times over, Bez Hashem, by all of us.
Amen!
You can make Kaddish and everything?
My.
Yeah, you can say Kaddish. If it once has a Siyum, a lot of fleishiks on 9 days. You're a Bechor, you don't have to fast. You're allowed to say Kaddish the real deal. As long as they have a kviyas,
Oh no.
What do you mean? What happened?
It's like a little,
Rami, I'm in the show right now. Thank you so much. I will see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
And there was a guy who was the special media.
It's not so clear. It's cutting.
It's static. Audio. It's like DJ remix.
You hear me now?
Yeah.
That was better.
Yeah? Okay, I was in Torah's Maisha. There was a guy, special needs.
There's a Torah story.
In the yeshiva. Okay?
It's special needs? What did you say?
There was a special needs guy in the yeshiva. He wasn't a bachar in the yeshiva. He was like a 40-year-old guy. He had officially a job in the yeshiva. He worked in the yeshiva. He didn't really work. He just hung out. You know what I'm saying? The yeshiva took care of him, basically. They took care of him.
One of the boys.
Yeah, he was whatever. It was a sad situation, but guys would make time and like help him out. And there was a certain guy who was mechazik him constantly, and he learned with him every single day, brachos. One day I come into the dining room, and it's set up beautifully, and all the Rosh Yeshivas are there. I mean, there's one Rosh Yeshiva, all the Rebbeim are there, right? Major event. What's the big deal? What's going on? I see him. Who's making see him? I forgot the guy's name now, unfortunately. But I forgot his name. He had a song. He made up a song. Hashem loves us every day. Hooray! That was his thing. So they started singing that song when he walked in. It was huge. Everybody was screaming, Hashem loves us every day. Hooray! And they made us see him. Not on Maseches Brachos. On Daf Beis Amud Aleph of Brachos. Wow. It took a few months, but they made us see him. 9 hours. Anyway, Al Kaponim, you can do it. Bezus Hashem, and we should be Matzliach, Bezus Hashem. Even if it's a fair matzah, we should be Matzliach making this kviyas.